In 2018, the Ministry of Defence became one of the 250 organisations that have signed the Care Leavers Covenant. A promise to provide support for care leavers aged 16 to 25 and to help them live independently. Since then, Defence has been working hard to live up to that standard and to raise awareness of the assistance available to care leavers of all ages who are serving in the armed forces. We've been exploring the experiences of people serving who have a care background and what they've learnt along the way. Paul Thompson is a Hawke Deputy Chief Engineer with the Royal Navy. His time in care has given him a positive philosophy on life, which he's carried right through his career.
I was about seven, I think, and I remember turning up in foster care with my little sister. So I've got four brothers and sisters. My older sister stayed at home. She was old enough to be on her own. My two older brothers went to a boys' home. So it's my little sister and I. She's 3 years younger than me. So we kind of ended up just kind of find ourselves there almost. And we shared a bedroom. And then one of the very first things that happened was the foster parents took us to a shopping centre to buy some clothes, because I think it all happened so quickly. We didn't even have any clothes other than what we'd turned up in. And then we carried on going to primary school. We're at the same school. So we then got a taxi from where we were in foster care all the way to school and back every day. And I remember the foster parents had their own children, but they didn't really seem particularly interested in me, my little sister and I. So I remember being kind of put to bed early, much earlier than I was used to, and expected to kind of the two of us to stay in our room and that be it. And I think that the rest of the family were still up and having kind of the rest of the evening. I kind of, in my head, it's about 7 o'clock, and now as I've got a nearly 7-year-old, my youngest is nearly seven, and I wish she'd go to bed about 7 o'clock, but she never does. So I felt at the time we were going to bed pretty early, but at least we were being fed, and we had a bit of a routine of going to school and come back from school.
And then at what point did it become clear to you, or start to become clear, that a role in defence could possibly be your future?
Well, that was pretty simple. So I was at school, so I'd gone to secondary school by now, and I was coming up to the final year of school, and I kind of thought, right, well, I'd quite like to go to university, but I don't have any money, because we're still pretty poor, so how can I afford to go to university? So in those days, before the internet really took off, if you wanted to use the internet, you had to go and book a slot on a computer in a library, well, unless you had internet at home and we didn't have a computer. So I booked a half-hour slot at Central Library in Edinburgh, around the corner from where I was at school, and went round, and I just literally Googled sponsorship engineering or something like that. And up popped the Navy website, and I thought, oh, and I'd always kind of thought that actually I'd quite like to join up and do some of that cool stuff we get to do in the military, but I hadn't been able to reconcile that with going to university and getting a degree. So I had a good look around that, and then filled in an online form to start the process.
You got there, you got a place, suddenly the future looks very, very different. Was there a moment where you thought, how is this possible?
So I've always thought myself very lucky, and that's what I've thought through almost every stage. As every kind of, I've had a few successes in my life, in my career, and I've always just put it down to luck.
But that's not just it, because some of the things that I've seen that you have achieved have taken a great deal of hard work, I would say. What are you most proud of?
I'm pretty proud of where I've got to my career. Because when I joined up, I thought, well, if I get to be a commander, that's a pretty good rank. That's reasonably high up, and I managed that fairly quickly. I'm pretty proud of having been able to go to the palace and get a medal from the Queen. I've got to say, my oldest daughter. So the thing I'm most proud of course, is a lovely family, a wife, two kids, even two dogs, two rabbits, and five chickens. So I guess it's that the pride achievement is having a nice family, and that my girls, they'll never have to worry about going through anything like I did. And there are lots of people who went through much, much more than I did. I was in foster care for a period of time. I'm not even sure how long, but it was only measured in months. And then I went back to my mother. But they will never have to worry about that. They'll always have food on the table and clothes on their back, and they'll always have their mummy and me to look after them.
It's odd, isn't it, that you have your own kids and you think certain things that I've done, you're not going to do, and certain things that I never saw, you're going to get to experience.
Yeah, and I remember that, so I'm an aerospace engineer and I've worked with fast jets my entire career. That's all I've ever really done. And I've flown airplanes probably hundreds of times. And I, even when I was pretty junior in the MOD, I found myself flying to the States every 6 weeks, sitting in meetings, and the name tally in front said United Kingdom Ministry of Defence, and there was I sat there. But the very first time I ever flew in an aeroplane, I was 18, and it was the Navy that paid for it. So when I decided to join and had to come down, or go down to Portsmouth for my Admiralty Interview Board, I had to get from Edinburgh to Portsmouth. And so the Navy just sent me a travel warrant for a railway from Heathrow and booked me a flight from Edinburgh down to Heathrow. And that was the first time I'd ever been on an airplane. So the first time I got an airplane was, I have no idea how to check a bag in or anything, and completely on my own. Meanwhile, my girls have travelled all over the place. We lived in California for 3 years, so they travelled backwards and forwards between the UK and the States routinely. And so I find it odd when I watch them sometimes, they'd be playing at hotels and checking into hotels and stuff in the playroom with all the play toys. I hadn't checked into a hotel until I joined the Navy. I'd never stayed in a hotel, never had any thought that I would. But they live in a world that I just couldn't have dreamt of when I was their age, but they're having a great time. It's fantastic.
And the things that you are able to teach them about life are immeasurable. I mean, you go back to that level of responsibility at such a young age, not only travelling and having to have the wherewithal to get to certain places, but flying planes. I mean, how do you think you did handle those huge responsibilities? And why do you think you handled them so well at such a young age?
So I have a philosophy of, and whenever people talk about it, my philosophy is just keep turning up. So you don't necessarily have to be 100% on your game every day, but if you don't turn up, you're not going to get anywhere. So I've always, it's a bit of kind of just dogged, I wouldn't even say determination, but just pure bloody mindedness. Do what's in front of you. I say I just turn up at work each day and play catchphrase, say what I see, and stuff just kind of moves on. And as I said to my girls, and my oldest one, she's 10, and she gets a bit of the tears about the pile of stuff that she's been given from school each day. And so I said, well, just write down a list and then get started. Because if you don't get started, you won't get finished. So write down a list and start ticking them off and see how you go getting through them and getting them done.
You mentioned the places that you've taken them and been. And I mean, how do you manage the more challenging aspects of being a family man and a military man?
Again, I've been very lucky. So I deployed to Afghanistan when I was younger, because that was the war at the time, when I was on a Harrier squadron, so did that a couple of times. And then, because I'm an engineer, and because I work with fast jets, I then haven't been away since before they were born. So, and then it's only been the last 2 or 3 years where I've been away, and that's tricky. In those few years, it was tough, missing family evenings, because I was away, not necessarily deployed, but just working away during the week. I was up at RAF Marham, which is about a 7-hour drive from home. No way of getting home easily. And so we just get on with it.
What do you think that your experience as a care leaver has enabled you to bring to the Royal Navy?
So I'm not sure, because I didn't have the best upbringing, but certainly by far and away not the worst. There are people with a far worse lot than me in life. And actually, I've never really spoken to anybody about it. I don't think that anybody at work actually knows that I was ever in care, and they just see me as I am today. So I'm not sure that it's anything specific. It's perhaps just a general approach to life of just keep carrying on and see what happens, because it can't be all that bad, and it doesn't matter how bad it does get, it's always going to get better. It might be worthwhile pointing out to other care leavers who are joining the MOD in whatever capacity, it doesn't matter, it doesn't define you, even if you have been in care and had a difficult upbringing, that the MOD will make the most of whatever talents you bring to the table. Regardless of all the things you read in newspapers, and I see it all the time, it winds me up a little bit. They don't care. If you join the MOD in whatever form, whether it's in one of the uniformed services or as a civilian, if you have the talent and you're prepared to put in the effort and you keep turning up, they will absolutely make the most of you. I mean, I chuckled to myself because I, a couple of years ago, did a course and I've now got an arts degree. Well, I'm an engineer, but I've got an arts degree because it's one of those things that you pick up on the way. And it doesn't even have to be as high a level as that. And the course and qualifications you get just going through your career are immeasurable. The life experience and the things you get to do, and you touched on the responsibility. My first job as a, I guess I was probably about 23, I was in charge of a shift of engineers on a Harrier squadron, and then deployed in operations and was in charge of 8 live armed jets on the pan at any one time, and all the maintenance involved and making sure they're ready to operate. I was 23. The flight sergeant, the second command on my shift, he'd been in the Air Force for about 38 years, which was longer than I'd been alive. But that's the kind of stuff that the military will give you. No matter where you start, they will make the absolute most of you if you're prepared to put in some effort and yourself on your own part. And you'll succeed and you'll come out of it and you'll kind of suddenly turn around and realise that you've got somewhere that you hadn't even considered going.
Thanks for listening. For more information about care leavers in the military and their first-hand experiences, listen to the other episodes in this series.